Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Tired of all the bugs in your yard? Enjoy your backyard again with Cutter Backyard Ready to Spray Bug Control at Menards. It kills mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, and other insects fast, controlling them for up to 12 weeks. A 32-ounce Ready to Spray container covers up to 5,000 square feet and is on sale now through July 13th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast in the entire universe, internet world. You have your two incredible hosts. They're both handsome, they're both beautiful, they're both intelligent, they're both strong. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it's a beautiful day for a podcast.
It is. And I need to start by saying I'm so sorry, starting behind. We have our schedule today, recording in the daylight hours.
I was actually just wondering why my camera is so dark, because it's actually just very sunny outside.
It's natural sunlight. But we're starting about a half hour behind schedule, which is mostly my fault, because of...
It's exclusively your fault.
It's like 90%
it's
your 100% fault.
It's like 10%.
It's partly mostly my fault.
What happened?
So I had a meeting that ran long, and then
You have a business to tend to.
Man, they think their business is more important than my business. But I had a meeting that ran long, and then I made the mistake of helping with laundry, and I went to go change the load of laundries over.
Oh, I need to do that. No, I did that.
Also, I said load of laundries. I meant loads of laundry.
load of laundries.
And in the dryer, I see two shirts that I know that I would have kept off to the side, because I wash most of my own clothes myself and I air dry them. So I text Jess and I was like, hey, like, please just be cognizant of that. I think what happened was you indiscriminately threw a load of laundry from the basket from this weekend. And these were two shirts that I wore this weekend, and they were in there. But, like, please just be cognizant of that, because they could have gotten ruined in the dryer.
Because they're from Shein, so they're shitty?
No. It was a Nike dry fit shirt, and then it was an Under Armour work shirt. So, but I don't want to run the risk of... They're two of my favorite shirts. And so, anyways, that blew up into a gigantic text fight. Jessica was very mad at me. And I was like, I don't know how we've gotten here, but my bad. I'm sorry. And basically, this feels like one of those Reddit threads. Am I the asshole for X, Y, and Z?
Yeah.
But then Jess was like, I'm so sorry that somehow clothes got into the dryer and I didn't look at them when I was doing load of laundry. And I was like, I made a little asterisk and I said, looks up the definition of gaslighting. And... that also didn't help. So.
Yeah, that's also not... I do feel you should look up the definition of gaslighting. I don't know that you use it correctly.
I was asking her to just be more cognizant of the laundry. When I do the laundry, I'm going piece by piece.
Yeah, that's
to
make psychotic sure that, behavior.
No, I'm making sure that clothes that need to be air dried aren't accidentally getting heat dried. And she
did
not do that.
They don't need to be air dried. You prefer them to be air dried. No, and there's nothing wrong with that. That does increase the longevity of your clothing. But when you have a lot of things that you're doing, you don't always have the time to do that. And also,
I understand that
the mentality of giving a shit about that is not always for everybody.
But I also look at Marlo's clothes to make sure that I'm not drying anything that should be spot treated. with like stains or dry erase markers. So I'm going through and doing all of those things. And also I know that there's a couple of things that Jess has that she likes air dried. So I go through everything piece by piece. I even make sure that when, like when Marlo comes home from school or we, like when we wake up in the morning, we've got bath time or potty time. She will take off her pants and undies at the same time, and then they just get thrown into the laundry. Mm-hmm. I'm actually separating each set of pants and undies one at a time. So I just was asking for a little bit more, you know, consideration. And then, you know, I think whatever. The moral of the story is that I did not fight back. And I said, look, I understand that you're at work. That's my bad. I'm not upset. I was never upset. I was not raging on my side of the text. But I love you, and I'm sorry. So what I'm trying to say is I'm an amazing husband, and Jessica should be so lucky.
I do fear that I'm not on your side, but it was nice of you to apologize.
Yeah, well, even though she's wronged me, I apologize, which makes me a good husband.
That's just so rare, though.
I apologize even when I'm being wronged, literally all the time.
I'm sorry you feel like you deserve an apology.
Anyways, before we jump into things, do we have any shout outs that you have? I've got a couple shout outs on my, I've got like two or three shout outs.
No, go for it.
The first one actually is a new podcast review on Apple.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. I can't remember if I read out this other one out loud, but I'll read the one from, this came in on July 2nd. And the title is "What Began as a Casual Search." .. Ooh, intrigue. 5 stars by Christoon Snow. Turned into one of my favorite podcasts.
Aww.
Kelsey and Carmen are so funny and sarcastic, and I'm a huge fan of sarcasm. Should I be disclosing that? ? I didn't want to rewatch Grey's from the beginning, but I did want to know what other people thought about it. Grey's Academy popped up first. I clicked and haven't looked back since. Hell yeah, Christoon Snow. And then just in case I didn't, I do feel like I did read this one. This was back on June 25th, but just in case I didn't, the title is Love, Love, Love from Krogan915. This podcast is what all rewatches need to be. Yeah, I did read that, didn't I? I'm going to read it again. I enjoy the predictions, the banter, and honest opinions. The relationship between the hosts is nothing short of amazing. I laugh every episode. They get off topic on funny rants, but they come back before my brain gets bored. Or maybe I relate to their friendship so well, I just enjoy their convo. Ha ha, just take my word and listen. I think that was worth rereading anyways. And then I've got an Instagram shout out. Been having a great conversation with, where did this go? I should be more prepared. Apparently me arguing with Jessica taking me out. Karandeep, had sent me a ton of messages and I just got back to them. I'm so sorry. But it was great messaging you. Andrea, love the reels you've been sending me. So thank you.
Oh, shout out for that. She sent me some too.
A lot of good reels here. I do want to shout out Ruth. I sent a message to Ruth introducing myself. She followed recently. And she loves our rewatch podcasting. Also have Victoria, huge shout out. And then Aiden, huge shout out. Been having some good conversations with them.
Oh, I did want to we want to shout out Mac because their wife just had triplets.
Oh, hell yeah, Mac.
So what? I'm sure very exhausted, but so very blessed.
Yes. Amazing. Ugh, we need to see some pictures. And then I did also, so a friend of mine reached out and said that he sent a screenshot of him watching the podcast or listening to the podcast in the car. And he had sent me a message saying, road trip, wife is a Grey's freak, so put her onto it. And hell it was season 9, episode 8. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. So flattered you thought of us. She loved it. He said he's a victim of her Grey's obsession. So he kind of knows what's going
on. Blessed by it. More yes.
But This is a pretty artistic guy. So I definitely appreciate when he says that we were impressive how detailed we go into things. And anyways, but definitely want to shout out Kristen and Yardley. Kristen, when you hear this shout out, definitely love that you're watching the show. Please shoot me a message here. I saw that you just followed me, so we will definitely be in touch. But with that, I am going to turn it back over to my dear friend Kelsey to take it away and start the episode.
Okay, this is episode 9 of season 9. It is episode 181 overall. It is called Run Baby Run, and that is a song.
Run Baby Run. This one here, not a ton about it, but I did get a little bit. It's by the band called Garbage.
Delightful.
And it's an American band from the album Bleed Like Me, which was their fourth album, released July 10th, 2005. And what I like about this, spoiler alert, did make it into my iTunes library.
It did?
Yeah, it did. It's just got like a fun little melody to it.
I was intrigued by the band being named Garbage, what that was going to look like.
Yeah, it's like a girl singer and like a punky poppy rock, like a very 2005-y song. But it's like, I think it leans more into the alternative than it does like the poppy side. But I also only listened to it once, so I might go back. Like if it randomly pops on into my iTunes library as I'm listening while driving, I might not like it as much the second time around. But it did pretty well. I mean, it charted in Australia. It hit number 47 and number 97 in Germany. So it did, it did well internationally. What I will tell you is, speaking of, so I'm going to give this objectively and subjectively a 3, but this did make it into my iTunes library. What's this? I Like You Better When I'm Naked, like, will randomly come on and I'm like, oh shit, this song slaps.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of songs that I've added that I really enjoy and I appreciate, and I look back on very fondly that this show has introduced me to them. So with that being said, yeah, that's it. That's a song.
Amazing. Thank you. This episode was written by Deborah Kahn and directed by Rob Korn, both of whom we've seen many times before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It aired December 13th, 2012. It was the mid-season finale. That's why it lands on a cliffhanger. Mm. So it was the last episode of 2012. So the next episode we do will be 2013, baby. We're so close to being current.
Only a couple more episodes.
Yeah. This aired to 8.17 million views, which is the lowest viewership for season 9, and also a very low viewership for a mid-season finale, because they did promo this as being insane. Like, they promoted it with, like, Christina telling Owen she wanted a divorce, which makes no sense, because he asked for one last week. Doesn't make any sense. Then they promoted it as basically, like, they focused on Callie, like, telling Miranda to leave. And then made it look like she did in the promo. Anyways, the promo was wild. They were really just lying up a storm. So it's crazy to me that it had a lower viewership. Also, but just
really
because,
going with the clickbait,
like,
huh?
Yeah, really. Like, it's, yeah. So, okay. The Netflix synopsis for this episode is, while the doctors prepare for Bailey's wedding, Richard helps her with her anxiety. Lizzie and Meredith butt heads. I don't know that they really... I don't know.
Lizzie and Meredith butt heads?
Yeah.
I don't even think I felt that.
Yeah, I didn't either. So, that's the Netflix synopsis.
I think, podcast going. The Lizzie and Meredith thing is interesting. I guess maybe we could start with just, like, the Derek storyline in general, because it's, like, kind of short.
Derek's being a whiny bitch.
For... like literally just a punk.
Like it's okay. Do you remember the episode where the one sister gives the other sister like a liver or a kidney or something, and she's like actually a passive aggressive demon about it? So,
and
that,
she finally
Derek
tells her off at the end of the episode.
Derek was acting like that's how Lizzie was being, and she wasn't. Like, she was giving him a hard time, but she was doing it like to be like a snarky sister, not to be like I'm actually so much better than you. And oh my God, like I'm saving your life. Like she was just like harassing him, because I have to imagine that it's difficult to be related to Derek Shepherd or in a room with him. So like I would also harass him at any given opportunity. Like I don't think she actually is going to hold any negative feeling or like lord this over his head for the rest of his life. Like I just don't think, like, it's just not that serious. And he is making it such a huge fucking deal.
I actually, so I don't remember what my thoughts were on Amelia when we first met her. I think I didn't like her. I don't remember did we meet the other sister? There's three sisters total or four sisters?
There's four sisters. We've met three of them.
Okay. I actually think my meeting of Lizzie is the most calm out of all three of them.
Also, I do need to clarify because everyone yelled at me. Her name is Neve Campbell. So sorry. It's spelled N-E-V-E. I was shot in the dark. I'm sorry. I'm not. I wasn't up to my 90s trivia enough. I'm so sorry. It's Neve Campbell.
Yeah. And for those of you who were out there with me, it's not pronounced Nieve. So it is. It's
Nueva.
Nueva. Interesting. Yeah. I'm looking at her and I'm like, okay, I know you from something, I guess, maybe. But apparently Scream was the big thing that she was in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Anyways, so that's the situation with Lizzie. I think she's harassing Derek. Everything she says to Meredith, I don't, like, she's saying it matter of factly. She's not saying it, like, super aggressive. It's not really, like, I wouldn't say it's confrontational. I mean, it's just saying, like, hey, this is where I'm at. These are my feelings. Like, just so you're aware, like, I think this is, like, shitty. If you don't want me, like, up in your business, that's fine. But, like, you're kind of playing both sides of it. So where are we actually?
Yeah, I also don't think it was being super, like, asshole-y.
Yeah.
It is interesting. The first time that they had the scene where Lizzie is like, hey, like, you got to understand, like, we're family. And Meredith is like, or no, maybe it was when she was like, oh, can I see Zola now? And Meredith's like, oh, they don't let us take Zola out of the daycare. And then it plays like some really kind of dramatic music as if that is like the downfall of their like relationship. And I'm like, it's just not that big of a deal. Like these places just have rules.
Certainly. Well, the thing is they've shown them like popping in.
Oh, yeah.
Like in between surgeries. So I'm like, listen, that's a lie. Which like if you want to lie to her, that's your business. But like, let's just call it what it is. It's a lie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. What an interesting.
In my opinion.
But I think the part where they're saying, oh, like, we're family now. You got to understand. And Meredith's like, this is not how my family works. There's, I think, a fair conversation to have around boundaries and
also just like assumptions.
Yeah.
About like what a relationship is going to be like going into it. I mean, God knows it took her a million years to like warm up to Lexi at all.
Yeah. And then by the time that they finally warmed up, they killed her.
Exactly.
So, and even Lizzie's like, you had a sister, right? She's dead. She died in a plane crash. Terrible, fiery death with the love of her life. Finally proposing his love. That happened.
So good. So great.
I'm reading between the lines there. I think that's the motivation of the conversation that the writers give us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I like that there's resolution to that, but the lead up, I mean, yeah, Derek's being just a whiny little butt.
Yeah. And he keeps like, and the drop of a hat, he's like, cancel the surgery. Just don't do it. She's like, is this going to hurt? He's like, cancel the surgery. She can't handle it. I'm like, bro,
she's got short calves. Was it calves that she has or short?
That they're taking the nerve from her calves.
Yeah.
And they need more of it than they can access on one leg, so they have to go in both. And he's like, cancel it again. And she's like, I just don't care. She's like, I came because I'm willing to do it regardless.
She does. Accept I do it. Like, that she throws a little bit of a jab. Like, she's like, listen, no one's going to beat Golden Boy Derek Shepherd, but I at least lock in number two, bitch. And I think that's kind of a funny scene. Like,
yeah. Well, and also it's funny that she's like, my mom, you know, mom never calls me because she loves you the most, but she's called me 3 times in one day. Like, because I agreed to do this, like, oh, I just can't believe you're saving your brother. Like, amazing. And then, you know, and she also does call him out on the bullshit of it. She's like, you just don't want to do it because then you don't have to worry about it doing it and it not working.
Mm.
And he's like, yeah, what if it doesn't? Like, what if we do this and it doesn't work? And she's like, well, at least you'll have fucking tried.
Right. Just man up and try it, dude. Derek Shepherd. More like Derek Bitch Boy.
So true. I had a nickel.
If I had a nickel. Yeah, it's interesting. Have we had the conversation about, like, my siblings think that I'm the golden child, and that is definitely not my perception?
Yeah, I also wonder how they've gotten to that thought point, because in my opinion, golden children are golden children from day one. It's not something you grow into. Like, your favorite when you're born, which means everything that happens to you in childhood should reflect that. And I don't know that yours did.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless, you know, my parents are looking at it as two different, you know, lives. There's the child life of the marriage times, which were bad. And then there's the post-divorce times.
Which were also pretty bad.
Yeah. Like, ultra medium at best.
Yeah.
So do you think, do you and Emily have this conversation? Do you think that you're the golden
child? We don't really have it about our parents, but we talk a lot about it with our grandparents, because between the two of us and then our two male cousins, which are like very similar in age, like the firstborn male cousin is 10 months older than me. And then his younger brother is 10 months or 5 months younger than Emily. So we're very similar, like, ages. And the firstborn is like 1,000,000,000% my grandmother's favorite, like, can do no wrong, golden child. And we talk about, I mean, it's not even like we talk about it to her in front of her, whatever. It's delightful.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
It's very, very commonly discussed.
Okay, now I'm going to throw you on the spot. And also, I'm going to let you know that this, we're not going to be removing this from the record of the internet, but we will say that this is not something that we will ever be upheld in court of law with your children when they're of age. But Scarlett's got to be the golden child, right? Like, there's something about firstborn. I think Marlo's already the golden child, and all the subsequent children aren't even born.
Do you mean for you guys? Like,
no, for you.
Parents?
For you as parents.
I know, but like, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of, I definitely see, I remember having that thought, like, before I had other kids. But I don't know. It's very different. Also, at the end of every day, you can definitely be like, well, that one was the best today. And that one was biggest problem today.
Maybe that's the trick to parenthood. It's like, listen, who's going to earn golden child status for the day?
You just have like a ranking really on the fridge and like, that won't mess anybody. They'll talk about that in therapy. Yeah. When I was growing up, my parents had like a ranking system. They changed every day based on our behavior.
Hour by hour, it would change.
Yes.
I would enter dinner time gold status and I would come out of dinner as bronze.
And you would just fucking stay in your seat. Damn.
yeah, that's funny. If anyone out there has the traumatic childhood that you want to share, send an email to graysacademypod@gmail.com and we will redact the names, but we'll definitely bond over it as a group here on Grey's Academy. Any other thoughts with Derek?
Well, the surgery, they do the surgery.
Oh,
Callie
yeah,
says it goes
right.
Well. Meredith says it goes well. She goes to check on Lizzie and then she's like, oh, I'm having a baby. but yeah, to your point, I don't think Lizzie is like super aggressive. I mean, she's the kind of person, I think I have some similarities because she's like, I'm abrasive and upfront, but like I own it and I'm not like pretending that I'm not those things. I'm just going to be that way. It is that's like, what's the point in lying about it? Tiptoeing around it. I'm just going to say what I want and say what I mean.
Yeah.
So like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but mostly because I also tend to do that. So
Yeah.
Again, I think she could be way ruder about it, and she's not, so.
Yeah, bad time for a yawn. Yeah, the thing that I... So a couple other notes I had there. So when Derek said cancel the surgery, Meredith went to Lizzie on Derek's behalf. And she's like, don't tell him I said so. And she's like, whatever, dude. Like, we're family. So... But she also does bring up a good point in that conversation where there was a wedding and no one was invited and they get just a pic of Zola via email. So, like, I think the things that she's asking for are also not unreasonable, which I want to call out. And then Derek, it's interesting, in that storyline with the surgery, Derek brings up the divorce to Meredith, which sparks the conversation about Meredith keeping the pregnancy from Christina, and like that throws this like the question of, well, maybe things are different now, which like we spiral to a different conversation later with Meredith and Christina, but that happens within their conversation. I will give Derek credit where credit is due. When Callie goes to do the surgery, she doesn't get nervous is what she said, but Derek is still like, hey, like you've got nothing to worry about. Like,
yeah, like I'm not gonna, like, whatever happens, it's not going to be on you. I'm not going to hold anything against you.
Yeah. And then it's funny, they kind of make it seem like Meredith is being hands off the surgery and she's not there. But then they immediately pan to Lizzie's harvesting of her nerves, and she's just yelling at Jackson and Steph through the gallery intercoms.
So aggressively harassing these people.
And is it Jackson or Steph that like rips the thing as it opens up and Jackson's like, get her out of here now. Do it.
I couldn't tell who tripped on it or knocked it over, whatever. But yeah, Meredith's like, are you kidding me? So there, Jackson's like, you got to get her out. And Meredith, poor Stephanie, Meredith is like, you have to work with me for years. You don't even come up here.
And then we're led to believe.
Rock in a hard place. Rock in a hard place for sure.
Oh, too funny. But then, yeah, like you said, the resolution we get is that, you know, Lizzie gets to be the first one that Meredith tells about the pregnancy, which is pretty cool.
And we should also touch on Meredith being apprehensive about the pregnancy in general and thusly about telling anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely see where she's coming from. But I also, like, personally have always hated the commentary of, like, when someone, like, shares a pregnancy with people. And they're like, and someone will say, oh, that's so early to be telling people, like, aren't you afraid? Because the implication then is like, okay, if something happens, you're also just gonna not tell anyone about that. Like, even if you don't like want to announce it to the world, like don't post it on the internet or whatever. If I want to tell my friends, it's because if there were to be something like a miscarriage or something like that, I would also need to lean on my friends for the support to get through that. So it's not like I'm just going to keep this a secret. And then also the other thing a secret, like I want to share it with people who I know are going to support me through no matter which way it goes. So right. I don't love that notion of like, oh, you have to wait. You have to wait. Also, like you and I both know someone who had a stillborn child at 41 weeks pregnant. So it's like there's not necessarily a quote unquote safe time. Like, yes, there's a time where something is less likely to go wrong, but there's no guarantee across the board that everything's going to be fine at any point.
Yeah. It's also like, I think it's hard also because I've also been in a little bit of a weird place mentally lately, but I know people who have had kids that have passed away because of SIDS. A 1 degree of separation people, like the siblings of a friend of mine. I've known people who have gone through that. And also look at what's going on in Texas, a whole camp of children, little girls. Like there's no I get the apprehension about the pregnancy, but like that's, I don't want to be too, like, this is not me being a dick to people who go through infertility journeys and stuff like that, but, like, losing a child is a part of life. That, like, is a real
sometimes,
risk.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sorry, it's a risk. It's a risk that it's a part of life. Losing anyone, losing anything, losing anything at any point in life is a risk, and that's just part of life, and you can't let that fear hold you back. But also, like, allow yourself to feel some of that joy, like Meredith, right? Like,
yeah. But I mean, you gotta we do gotta look at her life.
No,
bad,
for sure.
Bad things do be happening.
Bad thing to Meredith, yeah. Even to if my this point, is a TV show.
I don't think, like, no matter what journey someone's on, it's ultimately up to them to decide who and when they share information with, and absolutely, the reason is for them. I personally just don't like the narrative, and it comes really from like an older generation. I think our generation is way more transparent, and like, not like, I don't know why there would be any kind of shame associated with it. It would be more in my mind just like a pain or a grief that you don't want to talk about because you don't want to like relive it or like sit in it, and that's fine for some people, but some people like need the processing part of it, and that's also fine. So like, really, whatever that person decides, it's up to them. I just don't like it when other people are like, well, you shouldn't do that because of da 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 da. Like, it's really just whatever feels right for that specific person who's pregnant.
Yeah, exactly. Very well said. And on the topic of all that stuff with Texas, like, obviously, us as the Grey's Academy podcast, like, our hearts go out to anyone in Texas affected by all these floods. Like, it's crazy. I was watching a video yesterday, and one of these bridges, like, at one point on the river, it was 7 minutes. 7 minutes it took for the floodwaters to rise over the bridge. So,
yeah,
the people out there who are like, you could have done more, or like, you know, who knows? It's impossible to tell. But anyways, our hearts go out to those families.
Yeah, I have two cousins that were actually counselors at the camp. They're okay. But yeah, that's been rough on them because they're like 17 and 19 or 20. They're very young. It's like, even the counselors at the camp were still like so young. Like, you think about who's a camp counselor, it's like, it's not grown adults. It's
children.
Young, very young adults.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been, it's just like really been heavy on me. Just thinking about it and like being far away and like thinking about what my aunt and uncles are going through. So I'm very lucky that they're okay and able to be back home. But it's just like, I've just also been thinking like, what is that going to look like for them? Like, that they have to process now at such a young age, like their friends dying, because there were other counselors that didn't make it. And like their campers that they were in charge of, you know, it's just like a lot to for anyone, but especially like someone so young. So
yeah,
yes, thinking about that.
Yeah,
and
a lot of therapy needed.
Yeah, so on that super bummer, we will take a little break for capitalism. Yay.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
And we're back.
Hopefully there was an ad for online therapy or grief counseling.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Anyways, the end of that story with Nieve Campabelli.
Nueva.
Nueva Campabellina. Is she says, we're what'd she say? We're pregnant?
We're having a baby.
We're having a baby. That was cute.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Also, I will say this to her, like all of her conversations with Meredith. She might be being abrupt, but has such good intentions. Like, she clearly has so much love for Derek and also for Meredith, even though she barely knows her. Like, she's like very welcoming.
And Zola. She's
yeah.
like, let me
and
hold
I think she's just
burger.
Like, yeah, I think it does come. I could see why someone would be like even Meredith is like, yeah, you're a pain in the ass. Especially I could see why someone with that personality, especially those concepts around family, would be harder for Meredith. Cause like her family was, you know, terrible, growing up. So
to say it nicely,
you know, so I do understand, but I just really think that she's coming from a good place. And also just someone who's like, I'm not just going to secretly keep this grudge or like hold my anger. Like I'm going to express it so it can be dealt with or not, but it'll be out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So what next? Should we kind of like dovetail that right into Christina and Owen? Cause that's kind of like,
yeah,
a little bit of an adjacency storyline there.
Yeah. So they're getting divorced. wouldn't it be nice if they would also just stop talking to each other? Because why is she kissing this man again?
Well, technically, at the end of the episode, they did stop talking.
I guess that's a fair point. Can't argue with that.
Did start to what looks like to be smushing.
Yeah, it do be looking like that.
It was... I don't enjoy the close-up of the makeout session where
he's
I can physically
not a good kisser.
See the, I don't want to see the tongue through.
He's not a good kisser. He be eating women's faces.
Eating. Just eating it up.
And like, it's not, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't want any part of it.
Also, I'm just concerned. We're jumping the gun here. I'm concerned because Owen has not once called out that she fucked Parker.
I'm concerned because they shouldn't be together.
Well, yes. Okay.
That's
yes.
my concern.
Obviously. That's
been the concern for years.
Right. So if we can't change that concern, right? Okay, mm-hmm. let's deal with the cards we've been dealt. I don't think he knows that she was boning another human person.
Yeah, well, I don't think he needs to.
Okay.
I don't think that man is owed anything.
Okay. Let's try to be rational people for once. And you're
not about this one. I hate this man so much.
What's interesting about this is actually I know Kelsey to be a fairly rational person. I would say slightly higher than the national average. That's where I'm like double the rationality of the national average.
Carmen's personally. negative rational.
I think that's just what the kids call irrational.
Ah,
or Ohio.
Hip with the lingo.
Yeah.
Skibbity toilet.
Skibbity toilet.
So I'm think just
like the kissing, the smushing, the alleged the assumed smushing, the if they really stay together, how long until he finds out about the boning? Or does that just never come up? I guess.
Well, I think it would depend because when she was gonna go to him and say like, oh, I want to try again, I do think it would have come with that conversation. But for him to be like, oh, I want a divorce, and it's like, okay, well, why would I tell you this then? Like, what's the point?
Well, yeah, but I guess I'm going to put the onus on Owen then here too, because obviously when she says, I would like to try again, and he immediately goes and kisses her, that maybe should have been like, okay, let's have that conversation. Let's have a discussion.
Nah, he'd be horny.
No.
She do be looking good.
She looked great. She looked very
I do love a moment where everyone gets to get all fancy and dressed up. They all look great.
I was just like also feeling Steph and Joe. Like,
oh yeah,
I
was gonna say both of them were just looking
just smoking hotties.
Mm-hmm.
Howdies.
Like just princesas.
Yes. Goodness. Okay, that's a different part of the storyline. We'll get to that. So, anyways, yeah, okay. Divorce. Christina doesn't know about the baby.
Which, okay. I love Christina. I guess she's too in it, like, emotionally, but I feel like, how do you not potentially realize that it could be tied to the lawsuit? Any way.
I don't think that that's there's two sides to that. I don't think that that's something that even crossed her mind because it didn't cross my mind.
Yeah,
but when they say it out loud, it's like, oh yeah, you would think that that would be normal parts of conversation that are coming up with her own lawyers.
Yeah, that's my thing, is I'm like, her, you would think that the lawyer on her side would be like, hey, so this is actually like gonna be pretty tricky because of X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Or when she, if she says like, hey, just so you know, I'm also going through this, they would be like, oh, that's actually so good. So,
well,
yeah,
I guess
it's bizarre that no one would have put it together.
I guess also This is an interesting web of conversation because the hospital provided the lawyers who went to the team who were like, hey, Owen, can you step out of the room? And then the same lawyers went to him and were like, we are fully behind you. The whole board, the board of directors love you. And they wanted to get their own case thrown out. I guess I'm confused.
Yeah,
when I think back
I also
about that.
Feel like, well, I think the
settlement people weren't there.
Yeah, I think it's a different set of people once it moved to actual suing. I almost said sewage.
That too.
I mean, Owen is there, so, you know. Mm. Yeah, once I think it became more officially a lawsuit, I do think there was a shift in the situation. Because the one redheaded lady, I think, was a board member.
Was she? I thought it was just a curly hair lady.
I don't know.
I also don't remember. Someone help us with the timeline. Discord warriors.
Doing amazing.
It was interesting because, yeah, it felt like, as I'm reflecting on it, the people who should have been telling her that, like, oh, this might be tricky because it's a conflict of interest, were also the people who were like, hey, we're not going to lie to you. This is a conflict of interest, and that's our hope.
Yeah.
Because we're going to pin it on you for making a signature for budget cuts. Which, to Christina's point, when they do finally have that conversation,
yeah,
Owen's like, I'm to blame. And she's like,
you like it when I decide? I decided to put you on the terrible plane. Well, okay. Yeah, I will put that on you, Owen. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good for her for being like, that's not your fault, but I'm on Owen's side this one. He is to blame.
Oh, goodness.
The only time I'm on Owen's side is when Owen is shit-talking Owen.
Well, you know, that's fair. We do love good shit-talking, even if it is self-inflicted. But, yeah, it was a good moment when she says that he's not to blame, and he's like, I should be to blame.
Somebody has to be. I'm like, well, sometimes things actually are just freak accidents, but I will blame this on you because I hate you. But, I mean, and then he goes on to be like, oh, a bunch of people have to make small choices for anything to happen. And so it wasn't just me, but I was one of them.
I was the signature.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. I do like that there's a little bit of, like, him basically saying, if I need to fall on this sword for you and for the team, I will do it.
Yeah. That is what he sounds like.
Yeah.
We have talked about that he's Scottish in real life, right?
Yeah. Okay. You think I was doing Scottish? I don't know that I was doing Scottish.
No, you certainly were not doing Scottish.
Okay.
You were doing a voice, so I just wanted to say that.
I don't know that I could even do Scottish. That's like that's a hard accent.
It's brave. Think of Merida. Mm. If you had the chance to change your fate. Would ya? Wow, I nailed that.
all of our Scotland listeners are canceling you now. Which you should. She's the worst. That was Start bad. An online campaign. Cancel Kelsey.
Oh, it does flow.
It's a good alliteration, but it's not the same letter, so it's not the same.
No, but it's the same noise.
Yeah. Cancel Kelky.
There it is.
Just kidding. Don't. We love Kelsey. Also, the interesting, so there was a random dude who got shot, like a gunshot wound, who like brought them together. Mm-hmm. And she's like, we could be amicable, right? And then she finds out about the divorce, and then she turns into a total asshole.
Yeah, she's very hostile. Which I'm fine with towards Owen, but like maybe a little too much on Heather.
Yeah, poor Heather. She's like, suction. I said suction!
Which I do feel like that is their go-to thing to yell at people. They're like, suction. Really get in there. I'm like, okay, what are they doing every time they say like suction? And then they're like, no, more. I'm like, what are they actually controlling it? Or like, are you just mad? Like, I don't know how surgery works.
Yeah. Is it the difference between hooking up a turkey baster to the end of the suction or like a Hoover? Like, what are we doing? Also,
yeah,
Dyson,
are the
is what I was, Dyson is the choice vacuum. I don't know why I said Hoover.
Yeah, that was a throwback.
Man. Does Hoover even still make vacuums?
I don't fucking know. I have a Dyson.
Yeah, same. I think I have six Dysons laying around here.
That's a lot.
They're all pieces from a different era. No, it's just old. It's too two sticks.
I have a stick.
A shtick.
Okay, so yeah, she gets mad, which is reasonable. And then she confronts him about it, and she's like, why wouldn't you tell me? And he doesn't say, because legally they told me I cannot, which is probably what he should have said.
Well, I think it still creates some plausible deniability. Maybe. The lawyer said I couldn't, by law. But now that you've brought it up to me, the it's all systems go, no holds barred.
I don't really know how any of that works.
I also don't know. It's like I was going down a rabbit hole the other day about Hamilton and Burr's actual duel. Mm-hmm. And the only two witnesses did turn around so that they can have deniability, like literally, mm-hmm. like in the song. And it wasn't good. There's Burr had a weird life afterwards. It was not good for him.
Burr had a weird life in general because it's fine. There's a lot of historical accuracy that Lin-Manuel Miranda kind of took liberty with. But the duel is actually pretty spot on.
Yeah. And the line where he said, you may have died first, but I paid for it. Like, he did. Yeah. His cult
also, wild. There's some just banger lines in that show. So fucking good.
Yeah, like that one time they said, I, or me,
or wait, or shot.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What else? What else we have?
Do you have anything else on Christina? I don't think I have anything else on Christina. I mean, okay, so we've said, we've prayed, we've hoped for divorce. Where do you think we're at now with their relationship?
Concern, mostly.
Concern that it will continue.
I'm concerned, mostly, that, yes, it's going to continue until Owen finds out about Parker. I just don't know why. I guess that, like, it makes it, also, let me be clear. None of this would have happened if Owen didn't cheat. All right? Owen started it.
Oh, yeah.
And Christina just nuked it. Okay?
Well, if he's going to set the precedent of, you know, if you're pissed off at the other person, just sleep with someone else. You know, that's just the rule in the relationship now.
Yeah. None of it's
healthy.
He
made that rule.
They all should be in both singular individual therapy and couples therapy.
That's so true.
They need it. So that is a concern. Also, the fact of the matter is, even if they get back together, Christina still had the abortion. Owen still cheated. Christina still double cheated. And
she only single cheated.
Well, no. I mean, like, she cheated multiple times.
With one person, it doesn't matter.
Okay. And the most important piece of this puzzle is Dr. Mr. Feeney is fucking dead.
I think the most important thing is they want vastly different things. And that it has not and shan't change.
And Dr. Mr. Feeney's dead. I think those are the two top things.
Very true.
Yeah. So I just think, okay, like, get one last boning in and divorce. Or, like, I don't know. Figure your crap out, because you can't be together. You can't and shan't. But alas, an official prediction is that they do, in fact, reconcile. And Owen finds out about Parker. And
then they unreconcile.
Then he kills her.
Oh, well, that could happen.
No, I think he remains reconciled. I hope that all of this has at least taught Owen that, like,
he's garbage.
Yeah.
He is the problem.
I hope that he's learned his lesson. So
I do love it when a man learns a lesson. Unfortunately, it has yet to happen. So
what? That's not true. I've learned lessons in my real life.
I can't imagine that's correct.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit.
Kelsey is a dookie head.
So true.
Someone put this in an Apple podcast review. Say Kelsey's a big bully.
I am a bully. I'm a toxic bully.
A toxic. This friendship is so toxic that it makes me think that they're fucking.
Yes. Which is worse. Like,
yes,
I don't
that
understand.
Is worse. That's so much worse.
The logic of being like, they're mean to each other, so they must not be friends. They must be boning. I'm like, what is the model for relationships in your life? Because they're bad.
Look in the mirror, Kitten Peanut Jones.
Oh, Kitten. Okay.
Rest in infamy, queen. Or king, I guess.
Yeah, so did we have anything else on them? I don't think so.
No.
We did have like a moment where you kind of see Meredith thinking about telling Christina that she's pregnant, but then she doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I also don't think when Derek is like, oh, things are different now, they're a little bit different, but it's not like Christina didn't talk about the divorce to Meredith for whatever reason. I don't know that reason. Meredith didn't tell Christina about the baby because she thinks it's too early, and why get people's hopes up?
Right.
There's a little bit of like a sacrificial piece on Meredith's side that we physically see. I don't know the reason that Christina is not telling Meredith.
Well, Derek's point was like, why didn't she tell you that it's because of the lawsuit?
Oh, like it was a given that Meredith knew.
Yeah.
That was the implication. Okay. Yeah. I didn't
and
think
so
about that.
That's why she was like, why didn't you tell me that you're basically getting divorced for show? And Christina's like, what are you talking about? So I also don't love when Derek says like, maybe things are different now, because it kind of felt like to me, he was like, well, you're not telling her about this pregnancy, so I'm pissed off about it. I don't know. It felt like he was using that moment to like make a point about her not telling people about the pregnancy, because he clearly like wants to, but she doesn't want to. And he's respecting that in that he's not telling people, but he's not respecting that in that he keeps being like, we should tell people. So right. I don't know.
Yeah, that I don't even think that Derek knows what he wants other than to bitch about everything.
He do be bitching. Okay.
We'll get with that storyline though. Yeah.
So, Christina and Owen are licking each other again.
Licking.
For why? Licking. Who knows? They just can't.
Lips.
They can't quit each other. And I cannot for the life of me understand why she wants this man.
I get it, like, from a writing standpoint. So they've killed off, well, number one, they've resolved the first will they, won't they couple relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They killed off the best will they won't they couple relationship. Mm-hmm. Both ends of it, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No loose ends over here.
Yeah. And then they give us Jackson and April, which honestly way more invested in. And then they give us the Christina and Owen of they have, but will they continue to not, or will they choose to not? They've mm-hmm. done the will they, won't they. They've said they will, and now they're saying, but will they forever?
Yeah.
So it's a weird writing standpoint that I've not fully figured out, but yeah. I'm just not super invested in it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. Break
so
them
you're
up.
More
I don't
invested
care.
In the... Will they want though for Jackson and April than you were for Meredith and Derek?
Yes, because I was annoyed with Derek for a lot of that time.
He is the worst.
Because of him doing it while married. And also, he chose to stay with Addison, then was just a jerk to Addison the whole time.
And also was a jerk to Meredith when Meredith was like, okay, you're going to stay with your wife. I'm going to date people. And he was like,
yeah.
How dare.
But you have to be okay with me dating Rose.
Yeah.
Because I'm a man.
I won't
this
wait
is the
for you.
This is the patriarchy. So yeah, I was never super invested in the will they, won't they. I was invested in the will they, won't they with Lexi and
Mark.
I don't know why my mind completely stopped working there for a second. I was going to say Fred, but I'm like, there's no Fred here.
Fred.
Lexi and Fred sitting in a tree. So the Jackson and April one is nice because I do like both of those characters. I will say it's a fine line because April's being a real turd to Jackson in this whole process of making him feel like crap. But also, I wasn't super invested in the Christina and Owen will they, won't they, because I never thought they should have been together in the first place.
Yeah, and it went on for so long.
Yeah. And it is important to note that while I wasn't invested in the Merrick, Meredith, will they, won't they, I'm very much invested in them as a couple. Like them a lot as a couple.
I do think you may have just said Merrick and Meredith, and that's delightful.
Meredith and Derek. Did I say Merrick and Derrideth?
Derrideth. People do say the Meredare.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. They're not my favorite because Derek's involved at all. So.
Yeah. Well, you're
he's
also
pretty,
not
guys.
Involved
I'll
the...
never say that he's not attractive. I will say he's garbage, though.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair.
So, okay. Well, that's fun. What do you think is going to happen with Derek's hand?
It's going to work again.
Okay.
Because I'll also tell you, I'm also not a fan of the will it, won't it work again storyline. Just
it's
either
always,
it works
it's always the
or
hand.
It doesn't.
Preston's hand, Derek's hand,
George's
someone
hand.
Someone else's hand.
Izzy's hand.
Denny's hand.
Denny's heart.
Denny's Elvad.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I think it's going to work.
Do you know, I don't know if we talked about this. Jeffrey Dean Morgan recently did an interview where he said that after he played Denny, like, on Grey's, he has never once had to audition for anything. Like, everything he's done has been, like, a straight offer.
No audition. Either you were telling me that, or I did see that article.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's impressive. He's had a good career.
Yeah. He did that one thing, and then he did that other thing. Actually, I don't know what his IMDb looks like, and I figured I can't look at it at this point just to be safe.
This was like the main bad guy on Walking Dead.
I didn't watch Walking Dead.
I know, but I didn't either, but I still know that. And then he was also a very main character in Supernatural, which is like a very huge show that had also had a lot of seasons.
Also didn't
and
watch that.
He was in a movie called P.S. I Love You.
Also didn't watch that.
It's pretty good. It's a very
who else is
like,
in P.S. I Love You?
Lisa Kudrow and Hilary Swank.
Okay. Yeah. No, I haven't seen that.
And oh my god. Shit.
Tom Hanks.
No. He was in The Phantom of the Opera. He was the Phantom. And also in 300, Gerard Butler.
Oh, okay. You know a movie I really like with Gerard Butler that also has
Katherine
Heigl is that that one movie.
I hate that movie. Why would you ever imply that Katherine Heigl like needs help finding a relationship? Like there was a time where she did like three movies in a row where the concept was largely based on she's so dumpy, no one wants to date her.
I don't.
Your casting is bad.
Yeah, Katherine Heigl is just like just a smoke.
She could
show.
Not be more of like a classic blonde bombshell of a human being.
Yeah. What was that movie with Gerard Butler and her?
I mean, I know it. I just didn't like it.
Okay. Okay.
Hold it. No. I'm gonna get on the Google box.
I was just gonna look at the Gerard Butler IMDb. I would have found it. What a man wants. What a man.
The ugly truth. Man,
ugly truth. The ugly truth. Yeah, that's a great movie. I also just am a big fan of Gerard Butler, so I don't like man. Olympus Has Fallen.
He's
all
also
those
Scottish.
Movies. Yeah, he's in the movie with the other Scottish people and the dragons.
How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
Also. In P.S. I Love You, they go to Scotland.
Oh, wow. And they find dragons.
Yes. And love.
Kevin McKidd is there. Because he's a dragon.
The Ugly Truth was the name of the movie.
Ugly Truth. Great movie.
It's a medium movie, in my
opinion. Is there anything that... Okay, well, you're...
I don't like love a rom-com.
Oh, see, that's where we do. I fuck with a rom-com all day
and
long.
I don't love an enemies to lovers when it's so obvious that's what's going
to
happen.
Oh, I love enemies to lovers because there's no will they, won't they. It's just, you know what you're going to get. You know, they're going to, you know, what movie actually really pissed me off with the will they love they will they, won't they rom-com was The Breakup with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston because they ended up not together. That ruins everything. They
but
just should have got back together. It's
It's more realistic.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Fine. It's whatever.
I do like P.S. I Love You. Something about P.S. I Love You, man, really did it for me. I'm not a huge rom-com person, but that one really, really gets me in the heartstrings every time.
Yeah,
or the premise of it. Do you know the premise of P.S. I Love You?
That's when they're sending emails back and forth.
No, you're thinking of Lake House.
I think I'm thinking as a joke of You've Got Mail, which I think is Tom Hanks. And is that also Hilary Swank?
No, that is Meg Ryan.
Meg Ryan. Yeah.
No,
there's people. You. There are people throwing stuff.
It's Ryan. Ryan is people. I can guarantee you. When he listens to this, he will be texting me all of these titles, and then he will get to this part and be like, "Oh, look, there's my shout out."
Yeah. Also, Carter, let your mommy talk on the phone. Leah, you're amazing.
Oh my gosh, Leah. Hi, how are you?
Oh, that's okay. Too funny.
So, yeah. P.S. I Love You. Hilary Swank is married to Gerard Butler, and the movie starts. He has died, but it was like he had cancer, so he knew he was going to die. So he was like sending her letters, like, "Hey, keep living your life. Don't just like wallow in the sadness of me dying. Go to Scotland. Like, explore my heritage. Spend time with my family."
And that's where she meets Jeffrey Dean Morgan and falls in love.
Correct.
And they enter into a throuple with Phoebe Buffay?
No, but she is there. And okay. Funny as per always.
Yeah.
Love Lisa Kudrow.
What was the movie The Holiday?
A
where
classic.
You have Jude Law, Jack Black,
Cameron Diaz,
and then
Kate
Winslet?
Yes, thank you. I was just thinking Walsh, and I'm like, that's wrong.
Funny story about that. So I was friends with a girl who Steve was dating. So I was dating a girl. Steve was dating a girl. Steve and I are best friends, and they were best friends. But they broke up before we did, because spoiler alert, we broke up and I'm not with her anymore. I'm with Jessica.
Spoiler alert, it was not Jessica.
It was not Jessica. And she was very sad. So we left school early and we went over to, we got like fast food and we took it to her house and we just watched The Holiday while she cried. And I don't know how that movie ends. We stopped watching it halfway through and I went home. I don't know how the movie ends. So
it ends very well. You should watch it.
I assume it's an orgy with the four of them.
You would like it.
I would like it, but I enjoyed what I saw. So
yeah.
Okay. We have spent too much time rambling. Let's do another episode.
Let's lock it. We'll do another episode and we'll lock in and we'll talk about Grey's for real.
Okay.
Okay. And we'll start with everyone's favorite segment.
There it is. Okay.
For real.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.